let me tell you, Chronicles is really a challenge to preach through. 1 Chronicles 24, what we do is we run into a lot of names once again, and it continues on in chapter 25. But what 1 Chronicles 24 does, it kind of expounds what you find in chapter 23 and verse 6 and 23 verse 6, the latter part of that verse. Notice what it says. And David divided them into courses among the sons of Levi, namely Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Look down in verse 24. Now these were the sons of Levi, after the house of their fathers, even the chief of the fathers, as they were counted by number of names, by their polls, that did the work of the service of the house of the Lord from the age of 20 years and upward. So what this is talking about the Levites who were to do the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And they were actually divided up in 24 different courses. And in verse 1, what you find, the Word of God speaks in 24 about Aaron and his sons. And notice what it says. Now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. Now here we see that Aaron had four sons. So there was basically four sons to work in the priesthood. But there is a problem there, because what we read, and this also lines up exactly what it says over in Numbers chapter 3 and verses 2 and 3, and also over in the book of Leviticus as far as Aaron's sons. But what you find in verse 2, the Word of God says, "But Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. Therefore Eleazar and Ithamar executed the priest's office." Now notice here, the Word of God does not say why Nadab and Abihu died. It just said that they died. It mentions death, but it does not mention their sin. Now some of you might remember, some of you might not remember, what sin did Nadab and Abihu do to cause their own death? Now why, here's another question, why does the chronicler not mention their sin? Let me tell you first off with that last question. The chronicler, he is painting the picture for the exiles, those in captivity as they're coming back. He's painting a big landscape picture, so to speak. And it's kind of like an artist who paints a picture, and right in the middle of his landscape he's painting, there's this dilapidated, old, beat-up building. So what the artist does, he doesn't paint the building. In other words, he don't show all the ugly things that went all around with that landscape. So what the chronicler is doing, he's not taking away from the Word of God. He's just painting the picture for the captives that are coming back into the Promised Land. He's trying to give them hope as they're returning from exile. Now, what exactly happened to Nadab and Abihu? We read that Aaron lost those two sons. They died, literally it says, before their father. It is very sad when children pass away before their parents. Aaron's sons we read about in Leviticus chapter 10. And you can see what that sin is in particular if you turn there. In Leviticus chapter 10, and notice the first 10 verses there. "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not." It was strange fire in the sense that God didn't command them to offer that. Therefore, they're being presumptuous, and they're taking their position and offering fire, and it's strange fire unto the Lord. And the Word of God says, "And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Can you imagine? Here's two priests ministering. They're not doing it right. And all of a sudden, poof, they get incinerated. Fire just torches them. This is a phenomena. And the Word of God says they died before the Lord. So Moses said to Aaron, "This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. Here's his two sons, and it looks like his two oldest sons. They die. They die a very strange death. Aaron doesn't say anything. Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, "Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp." So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. Moses said unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his sons, "Uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest you die, lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren and the whole house of Israel bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled." Notice the instructions he's given to Aaron and Eleazar and Ithamar, the dad and the two brothers. And he tells them, "You shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you, and they did according to the word of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine nor strong drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die, and it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that you may put difference between holy and unholy, and between clean and unclean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses." So what we see here is that they died because God struck them dead. And they were irreverent toward the Lord. Now, sin. The chronicler does not mention their sin. But I want you to notice what sin did in this situation. Sin actually inverted the natural order. It is more natural for parents to pass away before children. But here, in sinful situations, what we see is sin turns that situation around sometime, and the children pass away before their parents. It deprives, sin does, it deprives people of a blessing. You notice what the Word of God says in 1 Chronicles, they had no children. The Word of God says they had no children. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Here, they had no children. The Word of God tells us that things that are recorded in the Old Testament, they are written for our sake. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4 or 6. "Now these things were our ensamples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." In other words, the things that were recorded before, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit of God, says they're written for you and I. They are written for us that are living, that we might be warned concerning sin. Death is extra sorrowful. It is extra sorrowful when it's a result of sin. When there is a blatant sin and they are struck dead, it's a sorrowful situation. Death is also extra sorrowful whenever it's dishonorable. I remember years ago, there was a sergeant that was killed over in Mogadishu, and those who killed him tied his body on the back of a jeep and drug him around town, dishonoring the body. Death is extra sorrowful when it becomes sudden. And that's exactly what happened to Nadab and Abihu. The fire of the Lord come out and struck them, and they were gone. Death is extra sorrowful when it's an unnatural death. Fire comes out. They show contempt for the things of the Lord. The Old Testament gives that principle. And what you find in the book of Acts, you have the same principle. You remember Ananias and Sapphira, how they lied to the Holy Spirit and said they sold the property for such and such and they gave it to the church. But you know what? They didn't really sell it for such and such a price. They kept back part of that. And you remember what happened when Ananias went in to the apostles and started talking to them. The Lord struck them dead. And then you remember a few hours later, his wife comes in. Sapphira comes in and they question her. And she drops dead. Sudden death. A quick death. Because they had contempt for the things of the Lord. What the chronicler does in this passage of Scripture, and we've only looked at a couple verses, but what he does, he is showing the two lines of the priesthood. Because what is left here, he says, there is Eleazar and Ithamar. Here are two different lines of the priesthood that's left. Now remember, the exiles are coming back and there are actually two lines of the priesthood. He's given them right here. And the Word of God says in verse 3, "And David distributed them, both Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech of the sons of Ithamar, according to their offices in their services." Notice what David does. David is the one who assigns them where they should go and what they should do. And Zadok and Ithamar were the heads of these two lines, and they assisted David in assigning their lots. Eleazar, his line was more numerous. And therefore, the duties were assigned by lots. Notice what happens here in verse 4. "There were more chief men," or more heads, "found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar, and thus were they divided. Among the sons of Eleazar there were 16 chief men of the house of their fathers, and 8 among the sons of Ithamar." Notice here there's twice as many in Eleazar's line, and half as many in Ithamar's line, according to the house of their fathers. "Thus were they divided by lot, one sort with another. For the governors of the sanctuary and the governors of the house of God are the rulers, and were of the sons of Eleazar and of the sons of Ithamar." So as David assigned them, their duties essentially were assigned by lots. Now what does that mean? They were divided by lots. A lot back in that day and time was determined by a pebble that was used to make decisions. Often I have heard that the Urim and the Thummim in the high priest vest was a black stone or a white stone. One meant yes, one meant no. And they'd inquire of the Lord, and whatever stone they pulled out, that would give the answer from the Lord. So here the lots, they cast lots. And the reason they cast those lots is so nobody would have an advantage. In other words, if we were picking teams here in church, two different teams, we cast lots for it, and one person doesn't show privilege over another person, but it comes by the lot of the pebble that is cast. Nobody has an advantage. There's no impartiality being shown as David is doing this. They alternated back and forth. They would cast a lot for Eleazar, then they cast a lot for Ithamar. They'd do the same back and forth for the first 16 names. And then for the last, Eleazar would have the last 8 names for the whole 24 lots. What you find in verse 6, you find the secretary recording all this. His name is Shemaiah, the son of Nethaneel, the scribe, one of the Levites, wrote them before the king and the princes and Zadok the priest and Ahimelech the son of Abiathar and before the chief of the fathers of the priests and the Levites. One principal household being taken for Eleazar and one taken for Ithamar. Here the scribe is recording everything. Those that were returning from exile probably had questions concerning about the divisions and the duties of the priests. So what the chronicler is doing, he's recording it, how David had actually authorized it to be done. And what he does, he validates these divisions in three different ways. First off, he makes the secretary or the scribe record everything before many witnesses as found in verse 6. All these are principal witnesses, the king and others, the rulers. So that validated it. He showed it was by lots. In other words, they didn't preference one above another. He also says, notice in verse 19, these were the orderings of them and their service to come into the house of the Lord according to their manner under Aaron their father, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded him. In other words, the authority came from God. So he's validating what he's writing by giving all this information, because some would question what he was writing, whether it was true or not. So here, notice in verses 7 through 18, what you have is a list of names. In this list of names, there's 24 different families that are represented here. These names are representative of families. Some names, what you find, is the only time they're mentioned in the Word of God. Notice what the Word of God says in verse 7. Now the first lot came to Jehoiarib, the second to Jediah. Now Jehoiarib, just for your information, he was actually the father of the Maccabees. If you read history, and you know history a little bit, here's where the Maccabees came from this lineage. In verse 8, the third to Haram, the fourth to Seorim. Now Seorim, this is the only time Seorim is mentioned in the Bible. The fifth to Melchijah, the sixth to Majamin, the seventh to Hakaz, the eighth to Abijah. Now notice Abijah, from Abijah came Zechariah, who was the father of John the Baptist. And the ninth was to Yeshua. Does that name ring a bell? Yeshua? Joshua, which is in the Old Testament, same as Jesus in the New Testament. The tenth to Shechaniah. The 11th to Eliashib. The 12th to Jacob. The 13th to Huppah. And the 14th to Jeshabeab. The 15th to Bilgah. The 16th to Immer. The 17th to Hezer. The 18th to Ephesus. The 19th to Pethahiah, the 20th to Jehezekiel, the 1 and 20th to Jachin, the 2 and 20th to Gamal, the 3 and 20th to Deliah, the 4 and 20th to Maaziah. These were the orderings of them and their service to come into the house of the Lord according to their manner, under Aaron their father, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded them. Here are a list of names. Following are another list of names. In verses 20 through 31, what you basically have, you have a list that you find over in chapter 23 in verse 6 all the way down to verse 23. So in chapter 23, verse 6 all the way to verse 23, you have these names, but here in 20 through 31, it's kind of like a revised list. They add to it. It's kind of like they're updating the list. So what they actually do, they add one name to a lot of these lists. Now notice here, we'll go through these names, and you might recognize some of these names you might not. Verse 21, concerning Rehabiah, or verse 20, and the rest of the sons of Levi were these. Of the sons of Amram, Shubael. Of the sons of Shubael, Jediah. Now here's one that's not mentioned in the previous chapter. Concerning Rehabiah, of the sons of Rehabiah, the first was Ishiah. There's another name added. Of the Isharites, Shelomoth. Of the sons of Shelomoth, Jahath. Another name added. You get kind of the gist of what he's doing here. He's adding, updating the list. And the sons of Hebron, Jeriah, the sons of Amariah the second, Jehaziel the third, Jechaim the fourth, of the sons of Uziel, Micah, of the sons of Micah, Shamer. The brother of Micah was Ishiah, of the sons of Ishiah, Zechariah. The sons of Merari were Mahli and Mushi. The sons of Jaaziah, Beno. The sons of Merari by Jaaziah, Beno and Shoham. Zachar and Ibri. Of Mahli came Eleazar, who had no sons. Concerning Kish, the son of Kish was Jeremiel. The sons also of Mushi and Mahli and Eder and Jeremoth. These were the sons of the Levites after the house of their fathers. These likewise cast lots over against their brothers, the sons of Aaron, in the presence of David, the king, and Zadok, and Ahimelech, and the chief of the fathers of the priests and Levites, even the principal fathers, over against their younger brethren. Now, I want you to notice here, most of these names you do not recognize. But if you think about it, if the Lord tarries His coming, and His coming is many, many years down the road, eventually your name will not be recognized. Even if you go pro and you become a professional skater, a professional sports player, and you got your name in a book or something, you know what? All that's going to pass away. It's all going to come to naught. You know what time does? Time makes things fade a little bit. That's why I'm wearing glasses, because you're fading when I take them off. If you see me take my glasses off when I'm looking at you, that might be an offensive thing to do. It's because I don't want to see you. I'm kidding. If I do, it's because my glasses are dirty. Time makes things fade away. But I want you to notice that God has recorded these names in time and throughout all eternity. Now, how does that relate to us? I thought, as I was kind of coming to a conclusion in this chapter, I'm going like, wow, is there application that we can see in God's Word as we read these names that none of us really know? Let me say, as God has recorded these as priests, the Word of God tells us over in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6 that He hath made us kings and priests unto our God. You are in the service of the Lord. No matter your age, no matter your gender, you are in the service of the Lord. God has made you kings and priests. Listen to what it says over in the book of Malachi. The last prophet, as far as that's written in the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 3, a very interesting little verse of Scripture. In Malachi 3 and verse 16, the Word of God says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him, for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name." God's got a book, and it's called a book of remembrance. And God keeps records, and as you think upon His name and talk of Him to one another, your name is recorded in this book. Now, you know what? God's got your name recorded. Just as these Levites back in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, we haven't seen this book that God's got, but the Word of God tells us He's got a book. And He says concerning those people who think upon Him and remember Him and talk of Him to others, "They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him." Here's a book, and your name's in it if you think often of the Lord. But there's another book, and your name's written in that. Look in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4. Over in Philippians chapter 4, down in verse 3, Paul writes, and he says, "I entreat you also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life." There's another book. and it's called the Book of Life. And those who know the Lord, their names are written in the Book of Life. If you profess Christ as your Lord and Savior, your name is recorded in this Book of Life. Notice how it's also called. Look over in Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, and down in verse 5, as the Lord is speaking to the church at Sardis, "He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Those who know the Lord are those who are overcomers. Those who overcome have their names written in the book of life. Look over in Revelation chapter 20. In the 20th chapter, and down in verse 11, there's this book of life mentioned also once again. "John saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened." Now there's a lot of books here. The books are opened up. What's in those books? I have no doubt that some of those books record the things that you've done in the flesh. Now this is talking before the great white throne judgment. This is talking about those that are non-believers are standing before the great white throne with these books of what they have done in the flesh, all their sins. "And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works." Every man that has ever lived, their works are recorded in all these books. God's keeping a record. "And the Word of God says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The Word of God speaks concerning this book. It is the Lamb's book of life. And those names who are recorded in there are those who have professed faith in Christ. They have turned from their sins. They are overcomers in that they desire to serve the Lord and love Him with all their heart. These are the ones whose names are in the book of life. God keeps records. And as we look at these records from literally a few thousand years ago, we don't know them, but God does. And if God, the Lord does not return, like within the next couple thousand years, you know what? Your names will not be known by most people, probably by everybody. But this we know, God knows and records His children's name. And that book of life, I believe it's for eternity. So my simple question to you this morning is not, is your name in the book of 1 Chronicles 24 with all those priests, Mushai and Mulah and Hezariah, there's a bunch of names there. I'm not asking you your name back there, but is your name recorded in the Lamb's book of life? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know Him as Lord? We're going to give a hymn of invitation. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, never publicly professed Him, that's what the invitation's for. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Your Word is timeless. It never changes. Your Word is truth. So Lord, as we've read the truth of Your Word and we see the reality of You recording names and how one day the book of life is going to be opened and whoever's name is not found in the book of life, Lord, we realize that death and hell awaits them. Lord, I ask that You impress upon people tonight the reality of eternity and the importance of having our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the importance of trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, we ask You to work, whereby to bring glory to Your name, for Christ's sake. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation, only trust and obey. Page